We learned a little bit more about Microsoft's Project Scorpio this week, but we'll hear more at E3. Plus, Atlas really, really doesn't want you to talk about Persona 5. Tonight is April 9th, 2017, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is Edwin Akeriper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash. Later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
See, I can stream tonight because it's not July 7th yet. I'm allowed to stream up until July 7th. That's what I've learned. Hello, everybody, and welcome to an edition that is before July 7th of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminiscing about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. You're joining us live here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. Welcome. Head on over to our chat room. Yes, we are live tonight at live.vognetwork.com. I know Orange Lounge Radio is not live tonight. They were live all day yesterday. But join us at live.vognetwork.com, and I will try to read some intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. And you can check in if you are logged into the site. You can go to the site, log in, go to live.vognetwork.com, check in there, just like Tiger Claw and Raginator, who checked in at some point during the intro to the show. And if you're listening on the podcast feed, there will be a passphrase somewhere here in the episode. It will rudely interrupt it. You can put it in on the site and get the exact same amount of points on the actual April leaderboard. A little bit later on, I am going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show, that is all one word, or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can comment on this episode over at VogNetwork.com. Before we get into talking about games, I want to talk about two events in the Southeast, or really the Atlanta area, because that's where I'm from. That I want to talk about. But first, before I do that, I want to congratulate the Sacramento IGDA chapter. They had the Sacramento Indie Arcade yesterday, and VOG Network was there. OLR was there broadcasting from the main theater all day. It went really well, and they had a lot of fun. So thank you for having us out again. And we really enjoyed listening to those speakers. So that means there's no OLR tonight because they were on for something like 8 hours yesterday. So you should have been here yesterday and you would have been able to enjoy some OLR. But here in Atlanta, there are two events coming up that I want to talk about. They're both kind of cool events. The first one is a really small event, and I've done a YouTube video of it, and I talked about it at length last week. But I'm just going to repeat it here. Vintage Computer Festival Southeast. That's got a lot of old computer hardware, some gaming hardware, that's old gaming hardware, and a soldering workshop for kids. It's really neat. The Vintage Computer Festival actually takes place all over the U.S., and the Southeastern one is in Roswell, Georgia, April 29th and the 30th. To get in, it's $15 both days, or $10 if you go just one day. And I am going to be there exhibiting a mid-90s PC. So I'm going to be one of the later people because that's what I'm going to be showing. If you want to hear more about my exhibit, I talk a lot about it last week on last week's episode of this show. Probably a little bit too much. And I will be filming a YouTube video for VOG Network because I've already done a Sights and Sounds of the video of the show. From last year, from 4.0, so you can check that out. But I'll be filming a new video that's kind of centered around my exhibit and stuff like that. Breakman asks, does it have vintage games like Oregon Trail and Redneck Rampage? Yes, actually. I know Oregon Trail was there. There's usually a group from Retro MacCast, which is old Mac podcast, and they run Marathon, which was like kind of like the big Mac game for the longest time. It was the answer people gave to Macs can't play games. And everybody's like, well, look at Marathon. And then it came, created Halo. The other event I want to talk about is the Southern Fried Game Room Expo. which is June 9th through 11th. So this is the weekend before E3. And the reason I'm bringing it up is because we have finally like pulled the trigger and sent the money. We are a top level sponsor of the Southern Fried Game Room Expo this year. So our logo is going to be bigger than a lot of other people's logos. That's basically what it is. It was logo envy. So we sent them the money. They accepted the money. We threw money at them. And the Voice Geeks Network is now sponsoring, at the top level, the Southern Fried Game Room Expo in Marietta, Georgia, at the Cobb Galleria, and which is right next to SunTrust Park, which is the new home of the Atlanta Braves. I didn't check to see if there were any home games that weekend. Hopefully there's not, because traffic in the area is already nuts. But the Southern Fried Game Room Expo is an arcade and pinball expo where people bring their own tables, bring their own home collections. But also companies, I think Stern Pinball, like bring some of their new tables. So whatever their new one that they're showing this year is. Last year they showed their Ghostbusters table based on the new movie. The year before there was a wrestling table about some huge event that happens in April. And also there's like a board game room. There's a console game room of all types of consoles, old and new. And it's a lot of fun. So it's going on that weekend, and we are sponsoring it, and we hope to see some of you that are here in the Southeast come to that one. I think that one's probably really worth coming in. If you are anywhere near the Southeast and it's only a couple-hour drive, maybe you should think about coming out to the Southern Fried Game Room Expo. So those are the two events that are coming up that we are going to be involved with directly. The Sacramento Indie Arcade was yesterday. We were involved with that event. And that's probably it with our involvement until Dragon Con in September. Look forward to that. So let's talk about the games that have come out now. Persona 5, and I remember ending the show, and I'm like, I might play it, I might get it. Yeah, no, I went out Tuesday afternoon and bought it. I could not hold off from getting me some Persona 5 action. I do enjoy the Persona series, never finished a Persona game. But I had Persona 3 and 4, or I had Persona 3 PES or FES or whatever that one was called on PS2, as well as Persona 4. And then I had Persona 4 Golden on the Vita. It was the one game I played on my Vita. Never got far in any of them. And I kind of barely remember the characters in that. And Dungeon Buster says, I am proud of the Black Wolf for diving into a Persona game. Like I said, I had Persona 3 when it came out on the PS2, and I just never really talked about it on the show. And well, also, I think like Persona 3 and Persona 4 came out before the or Persona 4 came out while the show was going on. I can't remember if Persona 3 came out and I was podcasting yet. I've only been doing this for almost 12 years. And I think Persona 4 was like 10 years ago or something. So it's been a while. I've got whichever one they released for PS1 Classics. I've got that on my Vita as well. But yeah, so I dived into Persona 5, and the first thing, I'm going to talk about the game a little bit, and then I'm going to talk about all the controversy about the game, which apparently they don't want me talking about the game, but I'm going to talk about the game anyway. And Persona 5, I've been playing on the Black Wolf Friends Forever mode, or Bobby Black Wolf mode, or they call it Safety Mode. So Safety Mode is basically the mode where it insults your intelligence in terms of the gameplay, essentially while you're in the dungeons. And makes it really easy. You don't have to worry about anything, and you can just sit back and enjoy the story. There's a problem with Safety Mode, and you can't get off of it once you get on. But here's the issue with Safety Mode. If you're trying to do... So I'm going to have to explain kind of how some of the gameplay... So it's a turn-based RPG. So it's not an active time battle or anything, so it's turn-based. And the way that you do your magic in this turn-based RPG is you have these things called personas. And each other character in your party has their persona, which is the manifestation of their heart or something like that. And at least in this game, they don't shoot themselves in the head to summon them. That's what happens in Persona 3. So in Persona 3, like during all the fights, like all the main characters are like pulling out a gun and shooting themselves in the head, and then that brings out the persona. No, this one, they're just like ripping a mask off their face or something. So the main character can have any kind of persona. And so you could switch between them. So all the other characters have their persona that's there, and it doesn't change. But the main character, you, who you name, can basically changes persona at will. So how do you get personas? Well, you get personas by talking to them in battle, which is something that Shin Megami Tensei, which is what the Persona series is a part of. That's the overall, the Shin Megami Tensei series is kind of the overall series. You talk to them and convince them to join you. So any enemy in the game can become a persona. So what winds up happening, and the way you do this is you find what they're weak to, right? You find the if they're weak to electricity, and then you use a persona ability that is electricity to use it to them. And if they're weak, then they fall down to the ground. And if all the enemies have fallen down, then you can run in and talk to them and say, I want you to join me. And then it's kind of an Undertale-like thing, which I think, I mean, Shin Megami Tensei did this too, so it's not like they ripped off Undertale. It's more like Undertale probably ripped this off from Shin Megami Tensei, but it's Undertale-like where you have to convince them to join you. Well, the problem with safety mode is you're very powerful because you gain experience really quickly, so you find that thing that they're weak to and you kill them in one shot. So you never get them. I've only been able to get two personas so far because they're the only ones that I haven't one-shotted and been able to talk to since I've gotten the ability to want to do that. Because it's like, oh, good, they're weak to that, and they're dead. So that is the downside of playing on safety mode. Now, why that matters is because in the non-dungeon area, so basically you're a high school student with other high school students, and you have relationships, and that's also platonic relationships, not just romance relationships, although there is a little bit of Mass Effect-y relationshiping going on here. And so they're called the confidant system. Well, you make them like you quicker if you have a persona that is the same kind of persona as that confidant. So, like, the first character you meet, who is another high school student, he is of the chariot persona. That's the class. Like, there's fool and lovers and all this stuff. He's chariot. Well, if you have a chariot persona as one of the ones you have in your, and I think you can hold 8 of them in your inventory, quote unquote, then your relationship with him goes faster. So, like, when you spend time with him, you can gain 3 points instead of 2 and rank him up faster. But if you can't capture the personas, then you're kind of slowed down. So it takes longer to get those relationships in the game if you don't have the matching persona. And in safety mode, it's harder to get personas because you keep killing them. So Breakman says, so Black Wolf mode is backfiring. Yes, it is backfiring for me. I asked for it, and it's what I got. Fifth Dream says, if you kill them all and leave one and whittle it down with guns, they may offer many will offer themselves to you. So here's the thing. So they actually have a gun that you can fire, but you have a limited amount of bullets, and they do not restock. So you have like 16 bullets or 8 bullets or however many, and they don't come back until you leave the dungeon. So that's it. You have, you know, you don't have unlimited ammo. You don't find more ammo, or at least not. I haven't found any yet. So it's like I don't want to waste my bullets, even though I'll probably never use them. It's like I don't want to waste them, so I'll never use them, so I'll always have them. It's that whole conundrum right there. Dark Tsuyu says, so basically they didn't test safety mode enough to make sure it didn't wreck the experience. Well, here's the thing. It doesn't wreck the experience because you can still do everything. You just can't, like, you can't have an optimized playthrough on safety mode. So, you know, and they have a new game plus, and I think that's where you can kind of max out confidants, from there. And so you can actually get everything maxed out, but it'll take 2 playthroughs. So, you know, it doesn't really wreck the experience, but it is something I noticed that it's like, okay, I want to get more personas and fuse them. And one of the confidants, you actually have to present a persona that has a certain skill to them, to be able to advance that rank. And if you can't catch personas, then you can't fuse them, and then you can't. You see, it's yeah. Probably, like, once I get to a point, maybe I can actually go faster and get to a point where I don't one-shot enemies. But at least here at the beginning of the game, I'm one-shotting all the personas that I want to capture, and I can't stop myself. But in, other than that, like I am, it takes a while. Persona games always take a while to get good, and it's got its 3-hour tutorial, just like Persona 4 did. Except you do more early on in this tutorial. I think Persona 4, it was an hour before you even took control of anybody. Or no, there was like one little spot where you like, oh, I can finally move, and you move forward, and then like another 30 minutes of cutscene start. So, but it does start slow. But then once it gets going, it gets going. It is. Hopefully, it'll keep up that momentum. I have not gotten too far in the game, unfortunately, because I had to work a lot this week. I need that money. So that money was more important to me than the Persona money. But hey, OLR's not on tonight, so I can play it. But I'm not going to be streaming it for you guys because Atlas doesn't want you to. Period. So we talked a little bit about this last week because they disabled the PS4 share button. And Atlas, because we knew that they were disabling it before the game came out. Well, the game came out, and then they issued their streaming guidelines. Now, this is not uncommon, especially for Japanese publishers. In fact, I remember I rented Kingdom Hearts 2.8. This title is Long, Fast, Future, Prologue, Furious HD Remix to the Max, or whatever they're calling it. I don't know. I might have made that up, or that might be the actual title. And on that screen, on the main screen where you select which game you're playing, if you're playing the 0.2 Sleeping Birth by whatever, or you're playing the Dream 3D Drop Dreams, they have sharing guidelines. And they actually say, well, you can share it. You can stream it, but you know you can't stream it just for the purposes of listening to the music. So you can't I'm going to be streaming the music. So basically, what VOG does with Kingdom Hearts music, we're not allowed to do. But other than that, like they're okay with it. Atlas, on the other hand, is not that. Atlas put up a thing on their site at atlas.com, a note about Persona 5 streaming. Simply put, we don't want the experience to be spoiled for people who haven't played the game. Our fans have waited years for the game to come out, and we really want to make sure that they can experience it fully as a totally new adventure. Please read our video streaming guidelines below. Well, first off, it's not up to you to determine if people should be able to spoil themselves on something or not. Okay? If I go out seeking spoilers, that is not something you cannot say no. You cannot find out spoilers for this. Okay? In fact, I know the text spoiler that the Streisand effect has created to this, and it makes no sense to me right now. So, whatever. Like, I know the big twist and reveal, and I'm like, okay, that's not what Persona is all about, but okay. Atlas says you shouldn't be allowed to spoil other people, even if they want to be spoiled. Please, please do not post any specific plot points or story spoilers and only talk about the game in broad strokes. A good example, the game deals with dark themes right off the bat, with a lecherous teacher and other corrupted individuals, a bad example. And then in this note, they actually give story spoilers in this, and I'm not going to read it. Because they don't want me to read it, even though they're putting it in this notice, but it's at atlas.com/note-persona-5-streaming if you want to read the spoiler provided by Atlas that they don't want me to say. You're more than welcome to talk or show confidants, which are the relationships, the new combat, the Velvet Room, the dungeons, etc. But just please keep in mind that as a singular story playthrough, viewers are highly wary of spoilers. No, if they're wary of spoilers, they're not going to be watching the video. ActF brings up a very good point. Sega is probably the ones behind this whole anti-spoiler stance. That is correct. That is most likely true, and we'll even talk about why that is a little bit later on in the show. In-game content limit. Please limit video content through the in-game date of July 7th. That is why I said that at the very beginning of the show. By the way, how do you like that callback back to the intro? I thought ahead on this episode. I thought ahead on this episode for you guys. So video content, you can post however many additional videos you'd like, but please limit each video to be at most 90 minutes long. How is that going to stop spoilers? Like, is it supposed, like, at the 91st minute, the first minute after stoppage time of the video? Is that like when the big story spoiler is going to happen? I don't think so. I'm sorry. I don't think so. No major story spoilers, and I'll leave that up to your good judgment. Okay. None of the story spoilers are major. Good. I'm good right there. If you need some guidelines, avoid showing or spoiling the ending segments of the first three palaces, which are the dungeons in the game. Spoiler alert. While you can show initial interactions with a character I haven't even met yet, avoid his awakening scene and that whole blah, 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 blah. They're actually posting spoilers, and I almost read them and almost got in trouble for reading their own note. I know I mentioned, and this is them talking, I know I mentioned not showing the end of each palace, but you can grab footage from the first boss fight, which they name, which I'm not going to name because I'll get in trouble apparently. However, do not capture video from any of the other major boss fights. So, in other words, what they just said is, hey, if you want to do a video that's kind of helping people who are having trouble with a boss fight after the first major one, no, you don't get to help them. You don't get to help. They don't get good. Get good. This is now Persona Souls. Get good. Don't look for help. You can't talk. You can't. That's spoiler. How to defeat a boss is a spoiler. You must not focus solely on cutscenes or animated scenes. Should prominently feature the dungeon crawling or spending time in Tokyo. And they do say you can post straight gameplay or have commentary. So they're not saying you have to talk over it or all that stuff. For streaming content, so that's just the stuff on YouTube. This being a Japanese title with a single playthrough story, even though they've got a new game plus, but whatever, means our masters in Japan, so this is Atlas USA blaming the guys in Japan. Our masters in Japan are very wary about it. Sharing is currently blocked through the native PS4 UI. And I had some fun on Monday and Tuesday with this. However, if you do plan on streaming, video guidelines above apply except for length. If you decide to stream past July 7th, and the following is in parentheses, but it is also in all caps, I highly recommend not doing this. You have been warned. That is all caps. You do so at the risk of being issued a content ID claim or worse, a channel strike or account suspension. So they're willing to take down your YouTube channel for showing July 8th in the game. That being said, Persona 5 is a super special case for us, and we're in ongoing discussion about how our policies may evolve in the future. Thanks for reading, and good luck in the metaverse. The fun that I had is that they don't actually block the entire game. They didn't block. They actually let you stream the 10 minutes of the beginning. And I watched so much. Monday night, I went to channel to channel to channel to channel on Twitch. And I did a little bit on Tuesday, too. I'd watch somebody. They played. They're like, I'm so excited. Oh, they blocked this scene. And so they start describing the scene. And I'm like, I try to be nice. And I'm going, I'm like, by the way, Atlas blocked the rest of the game. And they're like, no, they didn't. They wouldn't do that. And then I would go to the next stream. But I watched like five or six people, and some of them even fought me on it. They were like calling me out and telling me that I didn't know what I was talking about, that it was just the cutscene, and it's going to get back to normal when they get back to the actual game. And they were just describing the cutscenes. They were just talking about, okay, this is what's happening. Oh, that was so cool. You just did this. So I had kind of fun with that. Now, that being said, I did post a speed run of Persona 5. I posted on my Twitter an any percent speed run because I completed the game in 30 seconds. And you can go to my Twitter account, Bobby Blackwolf. If we're friends on PlayStation, you can probably find it in like your live from PlayStation. My first speed run, actually, I did it in a minute, and then I got my time down to 30 seconds. And unfortunately, Summer Games Done Quick did not accept my speed run of Persona 5. But you can find it, and it is fully streamable because I use the native PS4 UI, the shared native functionality. So I can stream this, and I did an any percent complete run of Persona 5 in 30 seconds, and it's available on my Twitter. The other thing that they did, though, with the internal share is they also disabled a lot of other functionality of the PS4. Because I know someone who, a lot of times, like when she plays games, she'll be in party chat and just like talking to other people in party chat. You know, so while she's playing a game, she's party chatting with somebody else, voice chat with them while they're playing another game or something and things like that. Well, it turns out if you have Persona 5 open, they mute your voice on party chat. You cannot even use party chat to talk to someone else while playing Persona 5. So I'm assuming they also disabled SharePlay. But they absolutely just disabled the voice. So even if the other person's not playing Persona 5, you're just trying to use the native party chat functionality of the PS4. Nope. Persona 5 turns it off. It's off. It's gone. Can't do it. Can't talk to anybody else. So hopefully, maybe, you know, after, you know, some time, they'll ease up on some of these restrictions after people have already played it. This is not the first game to disable sharing. I think the BioShock Collection on PS4 disables the internal sharing. But those games are like 10 years old and everybody's already played them and already streamed them. And there's no real spoilers on that. So Tiger Claw even says they don't want you talking about spoilers. Duh, of course. That's what it is. And so a lot of people have like started Twitter bots tweeting spoilers to people, which is how I've seen them, and it's fine. I went looking for them because who knows if I'm actually going to continue playing the game. Not because of streaming, because I don't stream myself playing games because I suck at them. But just, you know, gamer ADD will kick in and something else will happen. Because, hey, I mean, Final Fantasy 15, they finally fixed Chapter 13, so I need to finish that game. So Razor even says, not that I have a PlayStation 4, but if I did and the devs of the game that I owned, which technically you don't own games anymore, but whatever, told me not to stream or resell or whatever, my first thought would be, oh yeah, hold my beer. Well, you know what? You can't resell your Steam games, and you own a lot of those, so I'll hold your beer while you resell some of your Steam games. How about that? But yeah, that's actually kind of what's happened, is that a lot of people have said, oh, really, Atlas, you're going to send me a DMCA complaint? Well, I've got my counter DMCA complaint right here. You try it. And some of these YouTubers have a lot of money, and they can probably afford a court case, and this needs to go to court. Or we need to get the laws clarified, because it's a very gray area right now, the laws. And I think that this is the wrong way to do it. Now, back in the past, I think before Atlas got bought by Sega, they were a lot more fan friendly. Like, they were like one of the good guy companies. Atlas was always kind of one of the good guy companies. They brought the niche games over. They had a lot of fun with it. They did a lot of great marketing around the niche games and stuff. And then they were a good guy company, and it was great. And this is probably, and as ActF said earlier, this is probably Sega, because there's another game coming out that also has some draconian streaming guidelines. Puyo Puyo Tetris. They also extremely discourage streaming of that game. A Tetris game. You're not allowed to stream. From Sega. Tiger Claw says, some of these YouTubers are in some YouTube network to protect them from copyright claims. Nothing can really protect you from a copyright claim. They can always push the issue. ActF says, only single-player story mode. Multiplayer is okay. On Puyo Puyo Tetris, which I was going to conveniently leave out because it doesn't fit my narrative. But ActF does say only single-player story mode of Puyo Puyo Tetris is blocked from streaming, even though it's on the Switch, and the Switch can't block your streaming. And, you know, Dark Tati even says, that's odd. Do people really care that much about the story of Puyo Puyo Tetris? Sega does. Sega absolutely does. And Dungeon says, also keep in mind that Sega is not all Japanese company. Not all of them react like this to social media. And I brought up, you know, Square Enix also has streaming guidelines, but they're actually a lot better than this, because they're like, just don't stream it for the express written permission, for the express use of just listening to the soundtrack. Like, that's pretty much like the biggest thing that came out to me. They're like, please don't just like play the music and be silent and just have it be the music on repeat. Like, actually, like, do commentary and play the game. Then it's okay. And you know what? I respect that. And they're even like, hey, you know, please don't do this. And I'm like, you know what? Cool. I will absolutely not stream just the music of Kingdom Hearts 2.8, whatever, HD, Birth, Remix, whatever. until I'm on the show. But Sega, they're not getting it, and we still got a little bit of ways to go for people to understand that this streaming culture is the current gaming culture. I mean, it's a big thing. It's really popped up and gotten a lot better since, you know, the streaming culture has gotten huge in just the past couple years, and some of the larger Japanese companies are still struggling to keep up. Tiger Claw says, don't they have some restrictions on game with licensed music? Like, you have to turn off the licensed music? I mean, yeah, but that's more if you don't want to get hit with stuff. And that's why games have, like, the music slider. But then again, you got to realize a lot of people with streams, what do? They turn on Pandora or Spotify or whatever and just stream, like, whatever Linkin Park song they like or something. And they're streaming that music anyway. So they're turning off the in-game music anyway. So I talked a lot about that. So I said in the beginning we were going to talk about Project Scorpio because that was revealed. A little bit more was revealed this week. We're going to do some quick hits on that before we go to our break. But Polygon reports that the upcoming revamped version of the Xbox One is called Project Scorpio. It was really talked about, I think, on Thursday. It will essentially take the base console of the Xbox One and soup it up in every possible way. So the console will play games at a native 4K resolution. It will also have VR support right out of the box, but they're not saying who's VR. So the console comes with 6 teraflops of processing power and more than 320 gigabytes a second of memory bandwidth. Xbox One games will all run on the Scorpio, as will all backwards compatible Xbox 360 games. So Xbox Scorpio exclusive games, Microsoft says that those are not allowed. So it's not like the Nintendo new 3DS where there are a couple games that only run on the new 3DS. They say everything's going to be able to run on ye old Xbox One that you, if you have an Xbox One, is already on your shelf. Mine's from launch day. I don't have an S. And the company says they don't want to leave anyone behind. This isn't a new hardware generation after all. Xbox Scorpio is a mid-cycle refresh. They say that, but I can guarantee you that in a couple years there will be Scorpio games, the Scorpio exclusive games. And how I can say that is because I remember that exact same line coming out from Microsoft when the Xbox 360 came out. In the Xbox 360, there was the Xbox Live Arcade service, okay, which was basically their downloadable games. And every downloadable game had to fit on a memory card because you got to realize the first Xbox 360s, you could have the premium system, or you could be a courtard like me. And the core systems had no hard drive. And they sold 56 megabyte memory units. And there were 2 memory slots. So you would have these memory units. And basically they said all Xbox Live Arcade titles had to fit. The game had to be small enough to fit on one of those memory cards. Because they didn't want to leave anyone behind. That is exactly what they said in 2005 when it came out. And they kept that promise for a couple years. And then there was a game that was like over 100 megs. And then there were more. And now we have downloadable titles on the Xbox that were on Xbox Live Arcade that are in the gigs. They left those people that didn't have hard drives in their Xbox 360 behind. And it didn't take them that long. So them saying we don't want to leave anybody behind, they absolutely are going to leave you behind. It's just going to be in a couple years. And Eric RPG says, or the Scorpio will have like a new 3DS situation where Scorpio-powered games can play on the one, but it will play like crap. Remember, on the new 3DS, there are games that only run on the new 3DS, like all the Super Nintendo Virtual Console games, or the Xenoblade game, the Xenoblade game that's on the new 3DS. That's new 3DS only. You can't play that. You can't even load it on an original 3DS. So, Dark Tatius thinks that it might have been Symphony of the Night, Castlevania, that was the first one to break the original restriction. I think it was. Enjoy your Xbox One now, but you are going to need a mid-cycle refresh, is what they're calling it. Dungeon Buzz even says, haha, mid-cycle refresh by rebuilding an entire console. We're way past replacing motherboards and shrinking footprints now. And that's the thing that I liked about consoles is that when you made a console game, you knew exactly what the hardware was going to be. And now we're getting to the point where consoles are going to be like PCs, where maybe, you know, people want to mix and match, just like building a PC. Oh, you can have this video card in your Xbox One, or you can replace it for this one. You're going to have this much memory. And then we get all the problems of games that have that are no longer optimized for the console because there's so many different variants. So we're going to take a quick music break. I am not going to put it on the podcast feed because I don't want to be DMCA takedown. But we're going to be... And then we're going to take some calls since it's just going to be me tonight. So I'm going to be relying on you guys. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
Hello, this is DMN from Seattle, Washington. You're listening to the only man who cannot win a single game of Tetris, Bobby Blackwell. Here's Bobby.
And see, I can't stream me being bad at Tetris because Sega won't let me. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Yeah. Thank you, DMN. Long time ago, he sent that in. He can't prove it because I can't stream it. That's right. If you want to leave a bumper, you do not have to be better at me than Tetris, even though, like, everybody is. Don't worry about it. All you have to do is send me a voicemail with just your voice to 1-888-36-GAME-1 or an MP3 with just your voice to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com. So I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1. Toll-free North America. But I realized, like, during the music break, I'm like, I didn't even finish reading about the Scorpio. And it's too bad because I'm going to go ahead and take this call right here. Wow, the phones are lighting up. So good thing we've got a lot more time to take calls. Bobby Black will show you are on the air. Who is this?
This is Eric RPG.
Eric RPG, what's up, man?
I hope I'm coming in all right. It sounds a little messed up on my end.
You sound fine to me.
All right, that's okay. But I'm just calling to tell you what I've been playing lately.
Perfect. What is?
I've been playing games that are either old in style, but they're new, or they're old games made new again. I've been playing a little bit of Yooka-Laylee, uh-huh, and Bulletstorm, Full Clip Edition.
Mm-hmm. And how are they?
I never actually played Bulletstorm before, but I've only played a little bit, but it's pretty fun. It's got a interesting leash mechanic where you'll like whip somebody and you'll pull them towards you, and then you can maneuver them into spikes and stuff, or you can just kick them into something.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's got a lot of interesting dialogue. And by interesting, I mean stuff I can't say on the show.
That's right.
Yes.
Keeping it clean on this one. This is the only gaming podcast that's still clean in the world, I've learned.
But yes. On the ukulele side, it's fun, but I'm got to the point where I think I'm going to wait until all the guides are out, because finding all those things is hard. It's definitely a Banjo-Kazooie game.
Uh-huh.
And thankfully it's a Banjo-Kazooie game rather than a DK64 or Star Fox Adventures, because right, those were terrible. I don't know why people love them.
And
you have to collect a bunch of things, and there's lots of annoying voices.
Yeah, no, when I hear the name Yooka-Laylee, I'm like, is that by the same people that made Guacamelee?
No.
But it's not. It's Banjo-Kazooie.
It's made by the old rare guys.
Yeah.
But, this game still has a lot of the talky-talk stuff, and it's like, mm-hmm, makes me wonder why they didn't use voice acting.
Mm-hmm. No singing poo?
Yeah.
No singing poo in this one?
It's fine for like 10 minutes, and then it gets annoying really fast.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But, no singing poo because this is a E-rated game. Yeah.
Shame.
If only. Maybe they'll do a Kickstarter for like a mature platformer next time, and then we can get our Conquer game.
Yooka-Laylee After Dark.
Yeah. Anyways, I did pick up Persona 5, but I haven't had time to play because I've got too many reviews to do.
Yeah, you actually have work to do. I got out of that business. Mm. I don't need to review anything anymore. Nobody sends me anything.
Mm. Anyways, I did get the silver case, but I only just started it before the show started, and I decided to call in, so I'm going to go back to that later.
Awesome. So am I tonight. All right.
It's a visual novel. You read it, people.
Mm-hmm. All but right. Anything else, man?
I just wanted to mention on Puyo Puyo Tetris,
okay,
about how there were some localization changes. Like, one of the characters is, I mean, all these characters are from the Muddo Monogatari series, and one of them is named Satan, and they are a demon boy. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you can imagine they probably didn't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole, so right, they renamed it to Dark Prince.
Right. That's usually what happens over here.
And we can get God mentioned in a video game, but we can't have Satan referenced.
Yeah, well, that
unless
sounds like...
Want,
that sounds,
unless you want a T rating or an M rating.
Right. That sounds like a topic for another show. All right. Anything else on
if
your mind?
If PC version, we can get mods, and then we can rename them.
That's right.
Yes.
Anything else?
But, just have a good rest of the show.
All right.
And enjoy the evening.
I will. You too. Thanks so much.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. You can call in and talk about anything going on in the gaming industry. So we'll go ahead and take this call. Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air. Who is this?
Hey, this is ActDeft.
ActDeft, what's up, man?
Hey, you should stream Tetris.
I should.
But, yeah.
I don't want to get in trouble by my Sega overlords.
Well, you could bend the rules a little,
mm-hmm,
and play Tetris that isn't made by Sega.
Yeah. I could, but that's going to be the new hotness, is the Puyo Puyo Tetris, right?
Or maybe you can be a rebel and stand against Sega.
That's and true. I could, and then they could, like, sue me and take everything I own, and I don't want that. I don't have the money to fight them, but other YouTubers do. So come on and do something for the good of people. Just like, you know, Jim Sterling stood up to the digital homicide guys. You know, I want somebody else to fight that fight for me.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too earlier today. Because this is like really extremist, like, and probably at least it isn't at fault, right? At least directly here, it's mostly Sega and this, and because of their history with YouTube and all that stuff. But still, I would like to see somebody to take a stance on this and
yeah,
and say, no, at least no Sega. We want to stream the game. We want people to see the game.
Yeah,
And we can talk about the technicalities that is it legal, is Atlas and Sega do they have the right to do this? Mm-hmm. Maybe they do, maybe they don't.
And I think, but they do, it's just they're going at it the wrong way. You know, like when
yeah,
you start threatening people, then people are gonna be like, oh really? Hold my beer. You know. And they're probably right to ask it, but the way they asked it kinda sucks and it kinda hurts them PR-wise. But I think that, like, even in court, I think Atlas would win, maybe, on this. But then it's like we need to get the laws either changed or very well clarified, because there's a lot of gray area in here.
Yeah, definitely. Though I would still like to see someone to take a stance on this. And I would understand it if it was, like, another context, like you and Saints Row a few years ago,
mm-hmm,
that you could only stream, if I can remember correctly, the first 2 hours of it.
To be fair, that was a little different situation because that
yeah,
was a review copy embargo. The minute
yeah, that,
the game came
that's
out,
it,
that restriction was taken away. So,
yeah, like that.
Yeah. So, but that's a like that was they provided me the game in return for coverage, and part of that coverage was streaming the first hour or two of the game. It was like up to a certain point, and
yeah,
that's different. But if I'm paying at least $60, or some people get the super special edition for hundreds of dollars, you don't get to say what I can and can't do with that. And you know, but some people think you can, because like I can't rent a DVD and then show it in a movie theater to people and charge admission. I don't have the right to do that. So that's kind of where the gray area is, and it's unevenly, you know, it's a lot of things like companies turn a blind eye to a lot of stuff, because one thing I learned is you've been to like convention, like comic conventions or something like that, right? Okay. And have you seen like artists that do their like fan art and they'll do commissions and they'll sell like fan art of Zelda and stuff?
Yeah, I know many artists that do that. That do that.
Did you know that's illegal?
Yeah.
That is extremely illegal. Nintendo absolutely can issue cease and desist to every single artist that's making money off of drawing Link or Zelda or anything like that. It's just the companies don't.
Yeah, there are too many to to persecute, so yeah.
Yeah. So it's like that the laws are actually more on their side, and it's kind of we need to figure out, you know, if there's a way we can make it kind of across the board what you know, get, you know, figure out what the law should be.
Yeah, definitely. And talking about context, like I would understand this stance by Atlas if it were like again review copies or maybe just a month. You cannot spoil the game for a month, and in May you can show the rest of the game or something like that, like a limited restriction on that. It would be okay. I would be okay on that because yeah, maybe most people or some won't take the spoilers like you did. Like, oh, I want to see the spoilers. Most people want to evade them.
But and also like Atlas is considering the actual strategy of the boss fights to be spoilers, and they're not letting you share those. And so like, what does that do for game facts? Like, because if they don't even want you talking about them, well, if there's a walkthrough on GameFAQs that says, here's how you beat the boss, is that a spoiler that's going to get a DMCA takedown now?
Yeah, definitely. So that's like, that's what I really, really don't like about this stance, because it was mostly a threat. Mm-hmm. A passive-aggressive threat, but it's still
Oh, no, it was in all caps. I highly recommend not doing this. You have been warned. All caps on atlas.com. And it was still there because I got this and copy-pasted it in 5 minutes before my show. So they haven't taken it down all week. It's still there.
Yeah, it's still there.
and if you go to VogNetwork.com to the episode page, I will link to it and you can read it for yourself. So, you know, but yeah, it's the law is really murky in this area. It is more on the side of the people who create the games because we're kind of working off the movie laws. Because, you know, MST3K, which is coming back, they actually have to get special permission to be able to do their commentary over movies. You can't just take a Hollywood movie and do commentary over it on YouTube. So, it's we got to figure out, like, games are different because every playthrough is different, especially something like Persona 5, where you have free reign over what you do during the game. So, your playthrough would be different from mine, but, you know, so. You still there? To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwell Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase Mercury. So, as you probably heard, because that was where the passphrase was, my internet went down right at the end of ActF's call, so I think we were kind of done. Hopefully, we were done there. Atlas tried to take down my stream for talking about Atlas, and they failed because I'm back. And I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. Catch us live and interact with the show directly. You can leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper for using the show on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can email me an MP3 to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com. I'm on Facebook, facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf, or Twitter @BobbyBlackWolf, or you can submit feedback on the episode page here at VogNetwork.com. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy, except for Atlas. Don't tell Atlas about the show. I don't care. Just tell someone who is not Atlas. I know the show is not for everybody, but it might be for somebody who doesn't know about it yet. Unless it's Atlas, they don't really need to know about the show. But the show would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the wonderful chatters. So thank you very much, Dark Tetsuya, DC, Nate, VXJSNXV, Burr, Duplague, Fifth Dream, Havoc978, JD, Misty, Tigerclaw, ActF, BaconBits, Bull, Brad from Pod Culture, DungeonBuster, EricRPG, Fantaz, IcePe, Kaijudo, Kazan, Linz, MattCube, MXT, Breakman, Raginator, ShadowNextGen, Spiffy, SJ100Matt, Wyland, and William Murderface. So that is it for me. I'm going to go try to fuse some personas and not stream it. Because I don't want to get in trouble. That's for other people. See you guys next week, because it's not July 7th, so I can be back next week. Bye.
A winner is you.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.